Fight. Welcome to the Philosophy of Fighting Podcast with your hosts, Arturo and Anoop.
All right, this is another UFC talk on the heels of UFC 288. I'll just start off with how you felt about it.
Yeah, kind of just felt like, you know, like you're maybe excited for a meal and then like it wasn't that great. Like you still ate it. I remember it, but like it wasn't like that enjoyable, but it was like good sustenance. Like it wasn't like bad for like the fighters did terrible or anything. It just was like, it felt a little mundane to me. Maybe my mind was in other places, but maybe okay. The people I wanted to win didn't win, but it just felt like that.
So there's a lot of things. So first off, originally, Oliveira and Dariush were supposed to be on this card. That would have made it pretty dope, right?
Way better.
Also, Bryce Mitchell versus Movsar Evloev was supposed to be on it. And then Movsar fought Diego Lopez, but it would have been pretty dope to see Bryce Mitchell.
But Diego Lopez put on a good fight.
He did. I mean, you know.
That was my favorite fight of the night.
Yeah, Movsar is undefeated still. And favorite fight of the night? Yeah, I guess I'm not mad at that, I guess. Yeah.
That guy Lopez was doing some really great jiu-jitsu. Like, he was really attacking. He was never stopping. And it was his first fight in the UFC, but he's a very well-versed amateur. He's, like, over 25, I think, fights. Mm-hmm. And so he was like, oh, this is my opportunity to jump in the top 10. He's like, I'm doing it. And I also liked that they emphasized he was a jiu-jitsu teacher.
Why?
I don't know. I just kind of feel like even though all the fighters are teachers, I'm sure like they're teaching a lot of people. Like,
yeah,
I don't feel like a lot of them rep themselves as a teacher, though. And he kind of like repped himself a little bit as a coach. And it made me think that when he was like doing some subs, he was probably like, well, I got to show my students I could do, like, you know, like I could do it. And every time he came close, I was like, that's the perfect little advertisement for him, you know, like against one of the best, like making this guy fucking squirm.
All right. So let me backtrack a little bit. The first fight I want to talk about was actually like the main event of the prelims.
Okay.
Which was Matt Frivola versus Drew Dober. Matt Frivola with a huge win, right? Got a TKO. Matt Frivola is a friend of the podcast. So we're kind of rooting for him. But I think you and I both love Drew Dober too, but you know, I have a little soft spot for Matt Frivola.
Yeah.
And that's a huge win because he got a TKO over Drew Dober. I don't know if you know this, but Drew Dober is almost unknockable. Like he was, let's see. He got KO'd once in 2011. That's it. And Drew Dober is, you know, 39 fights. So in 39 fights, you'd think this guy's got a granite chin pretty much, right? He's the Giga Chad.
He's got the biggest physical chin maybe in the sport. Like he is that Chad meme.
Yeah, his neck and his jawline are probably bigger than his forehead. Yeah, he is the Chad meme. Giga Chad, I would say. And to knock him out is, I think, a huge win for Matt Frivola.
Sweet. Shout out, Matt. Good job. Congratulations.
Yeah right on. Steamroller.
He's getting he'll be getting a lot of named opponents now, higher ranking opponents. Respectable.
Yeah, I think this is like three in a row for him, three finishes. Like he's on the right track for sure.
Then
the next fight was the most lame fight. I shouldn't say that. It's Charles Jourdain versus Cron Gracie. And Cron Gracie is fighting like Royce Gracie in 1999.
He was butt scooting and it just so disappointed me. Maybe that's why.
It was embarrassing. I was embarrassed on his behalf. Like if people know that I do jiu-jitsu and they're like, oh, like that? No, not like that.
Exactly. I know. Every time you do
I was rooting for Charles Jourdain to start because I know like how grappling heavy Cron Gracie is. But that was even worse than I expected. And props to Charles Jourdain for like playing that game perfect.
It also kind of shows how strong the Gracie name is because Cron wasn't that good 4 years ago and he hasn't fought. And you figure maybe he's just been training his stand-up to like implement everything in his game. And then he just looked exactly the same but worse. And he had a main card fight. And it's just because his last name is Gracie, right? Like if it was anybody else, he wouldn't.
I mean, not, yeah, I guess, yeah, he's 5-2 now. Like, he was 5-1. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it is weird that he has a spot on the roster.
But I did want to watch his fight. And, yeah, I guess that kind of partially goes to the mundane because I still want to root for the grapplers a little bit more. You know, like, that's what I do. Like,
oh, not me. I feel like they embarrass me more than anything.
I know. The ones that are just purely, you got to blend it together.
Yeah, it just, yeah, I don't like that. That BJJ ho. So yeah, it was good to see Charles Jourdain win that. Someone bet 35K on Cron Gracie. What an idiot. Yeah, man. All right, so then the next fight was your boy Diego Lopez and Mosar, which we talked about. Mosar got the decision, which I think was pretty definitive. It was close, but I think it was pretty easily to see that Mosar won.
And I became a fan of Mosar. He seemed super chill, super humble. He was like, fuck, this guy Lopez was hard. And they mentioned like how he was telling one of the announcers before the fight, like, I could take on a Volkanovski. And then like maybe the announcer made a face or something. He goes, give me a year. And so like, I love that he has the confidence to be like, feel like he could take on Volkanovski, but he also has the humility that's like, I need a year.
Yeah, and featherweight needs that shakeup.
Say that again.
Featherweight needs that shakeup, needs a guy to come up so that Volkanovski's not beating up the same guys.
Yeah. So
I'm sure the UFC is rooting for him.
But Lopez almost got him in so many subs. And I feel like this is the type of fight that's going to make both of them better.
Yeah, there was a couple of times where I think he reached for maybe like Kimura or just whatever. It was just like some arm control. Then I was like, ooh, okay. Like nothing we're like, oh, he's going to finish this, but. Yeah, I mean, there was a time where the Kimura got, like, into a sweep, but Mosar still ended up on top.
He had a good arm bar at one point that looked, like, pretty close. And at the end, he almost had a knee bar.
Yes, that the knee bar. Yes, he had a weird extension on. He was, like, really straightening his legs as opposed to, like, clamping his heels to his butt and extending the hips. It was interesting. I wonder if it was just, like, the bite he got at the time or whatever. Maybe he's just not thinking as much.
It seemed like two knee bars because he had one and then Mosar got out and then he reversed it to like maybe another and then he switched his hips. And
yeah,
but I just love that he kept attacking. And if you switch their names and if you call Diego Lopez Gracie and Cron Gracie Cron Diego, you would be like, yo, this Gracie's got sick jiu-jitsu, like the way he was doing
it. I guess. I don't know. The way he was executing that knee bar on the finish, like you got to be twisting that foot, like you should be attacking, like you never go in that like two-dimensional access on the break, you know, like you have to like twist and extend, and there's like no twisting of that foot. I was kind of surprised to see that. I was like, oh man, if he like really put his head heavy on the toes on the ball of the foot and pulled the heel inside as he was hitting that extension, I don't know, he might have got it, which would have been like the coolest finish sub of the night. It'd have been like everything.
Technically, you're right. I just mean in the sense, how often do we see people even coming close to subs in the third round?
That's and true, like, especially at the finish.
Like he was really, for me, it's like you got to always be attacking if you're doing jiu-jitsu because it's a fight. You can't nullify. You got to be attacking, and that's so much harder to do.
And it makes you wonder, like, if the fight was, like, 20 more seconds, like, would he have had the stamina to hold on? Would he have switched to something else? Would Mosar would have tapped? Like, it would have been interesting.
Well, we put that poll on our Instagram, and I was surprised at the results, but Cron Gracie was talking about earlier in the week about how there should be no more time limits.
Yeah.
And the fight would be more favorable to grapplers if there was no breaks. So
yes.
I'm sorry, not no time limits, just 25 minutes of straight fighting instead of five.
Right, yeah, no round breaks, yeah.
And that was
I don't know if that's necessarily the case, too. I mean, how many times do we see the end of a round when someone's getting beat the fuck up?
True.
Or being knocked out? Like, we do see that kind of often, too. But yeah, it probably favors the grappler, but I don't think as strongly as other people might think.
I think it just benefits grapplers a little bit more.
Yes.
Right? Because they could be, once there's 30 seconds on the clock, I think a lot of fighters are like, okay, I could just hold on to this, you know, like, and they could just, they could cut down the time where if they can't think that way and it's just unlimited, all those arm bars and knee bars and everything that's happening around the 30 second mark becomes so much more like scary and like legitimate, like, and it does make change up the game a little.
I mean, if you did that, though, you do run the risk of the pace of a fight really slowing down. Like, there's no rest. You also run the risk of, like, to their health where, like, okay, you know, they are getting Vaseline. They are getting their cuts addressed, their swelling addressed. Like, that stuff does get a little bit, not a reset, but it gets helped in between rounds. If you don't have that, I don't know, maybe you get more finishes and means that you don't like. Or just, you know, in the last minute of a round, you'll see guys pick up the pace to try to win the round. Like, you're not going to have guys pick up the pace. Like, they're just
that's a good point.
They might fall into those lulls. So I'm not sure. Is it more representative of what a real fight is? Yes. Is that the most entertaining thing to watch? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's a very good point that you made. Pride, for those that don't know, they would have it would start the fight with a 10-minute round, right? And then they would have a 5-minute round after.
Yeah, I love Pride rules outside of no elbows, but
that's a good middle ground what Pride had, because 10 minutes is a long time, so it's like, go for it.
Or, I mean, I don't want to harp on, this is a UFC talk, but ONE Championship. You can do the rounds, just judge the fight.
Yeah, that's what ONE does? I didn't know ONE does that.
Yeah, they don't do round by round. Then who won the fight?
Nice.
Yeah, no round by round judging. Yeah. It doesn't even really go to judges that often, it seems like, but.
You're going to do an individual podcast on the ONE?
Yes.
Nice. So, yeah, you guys can listen to that. And I do appreciate what you're doing already about promoting other organizations.
Yeah. I'm pretty high on ONE. I mean, I'll get into it on that podcast, but yeah, it's prime time for ONE right now. Yeah. But going back to this card, I do feel, especially in relation to ONE, that it was a little bit of a letdown, and not a letdown. I can't say that too much. So I'll get into the next fight, right? You had Jan beat Andrade. Andrade is falling on some hard times right now. She was a champ. But yeah, huge knockout finish. I think people won a lot of money. I think her to win by knockout was like, it's pretty strong odds. I want to say it was
really?
Like, yeah, it was something crazy, like plus 2,000 or something.
What?
I'm really surprised by it. Yeah, it was something crazy where I was like, no way. And she won by first round knockout.
That's amazing. Good for her.
It was pretty cool.
And they're talking about a fight with her versus Wang Zhe-Li, right? In China.
Yeah, battle in China, yeah.
That'll do massive.
That's a great fight. I would love to see that fight. That's a great fight. But
that probably made Dana White so happy.
Yeah.
Largest market in the world, China. Like, now you could have two people from China fighting there. Like,
yep, that's a headline. You could have it in China, yeah.
Massive.
All right, and then the next fight was probably my most disappointing fight. It just left me with, like, Bilal Muhammad versus Gilbert Burns.
I know.
So, I mean, our buddy Andy was like, oh, who do you have for that fight? I'm like, I'm not picking against Bilal. Bilal continues to surprise. I'm forever done betting against him. He wins. I don't like him. I think a lot of fans don't like him. And I know not many people, he's always like, yeah, people don't really have good reasons not to like me. I don't understand, like, what I do that gets people to not like me. And I already have a few ideas. But yeah, for ONE, I mean, you have a couple finishes recently, but like, large and large, I just find him boring.
He gives a boring vibe.
Say again?
He gives a boring vibe, like the way he fights, the way he talks, like a lot of stuff.
Yeah, like his promos are not good. He's very regular. His fighting, like, while he's very good, he's very well-rounded. He executes great game plans. It's also not, it's like, it's not there to finish people. He's there to just eke out those wins. And I don't know. I'm not a fan. And you know how I feel about the whole, like, Palestinian flag, you're from Chicago. That's a weird thing to me. I don't know. Whatever. Plus, I'm a fan of Gilbert Burns, so I guess I'm biased there. But Gilbert didn't have anything for him.
I know. I thought the third fight, this is Gilbert's third fight in 3 months. And part of me thought, like, maybe he just did that one camp and he's kept on fighting, so he would have energy. Like, this would be like a new style. Like, you know, like.
Yeah, you can't just keep going, though. You need like reset, a deload.
He looks so drained and just slow. And like, Bilal Muhammad doesn't. It's like in the NFL, if you just run the ball 3 times and you just get 3.5 yards each time, but you can't stop it, but you just keep making progress. Like, that's Bilal Muhammad. It's not like appealing to the eye or aesthetic. Like, it's just effective. And I don't think he's avoiding the fight. Like, we're not saying like he's using the rules to win easy.
No,
it's just a little bland. Like, it's missing salt, you know? Like, there's something missing from his recipe that it just doesn't seem that great. And yeah, we love Gilbert. And I was so sad to see Gilbert
lose.
I was
also texting you how I hated the commentary for this fight. And while Bilal won a very one-sided decision, the commentary for this fight was so... I couldn't stand listening to it. It was just Bilal praise fest. And it's like, okay, yeah, Gilbert Burns didn't have much going, but it was like some weird things where like Bilal was like, I don't know, stuff that wasn't even going in. They're like, oh my God, Gilbert might not be able to take much more. And you're like, Gilbert looks fine. And then Gilbert, the one thing that he was finding success was with his double right. He'd go for like a darting straight and then change his stance and then use like as like a lead hook. He would do, you know, two rights in a row. And it worked like a bunch of times. In fact, I think it worked every time. But I guess, you know, you can't just spam that. That's pretty easily seen. But I don't know. Maybe you should have. Maybe that would have helped him a little bit more. But in either instance, even every time he would hit it, they would just praise for Bilal for like not affecting him. And you're like, dude, it was so crazy to me. I couldn't stand the commentary.
I mean, I think they were somewhat right. It wasn't phasing him. But you're also right. It was just like Joe Rogan gets something in his head and then he just keeps harping on it.
Yep.
Even if he's unsure if it's true, it's like the leg's compromised. And then sometimes like Nate Diaz would be like, my leg was fine. Like after the fight, like, you know, like, why are you telling everybody? Like, I don't know. It's just in his head sometimes. And so maybe he was thinking Bilal doesn't get a lot of praise normally. Like, look at the way we're talking about him. And maybe
he's
just like, I'm going to make a little bit of an effort to highlight some of the good things that he does. It's not an easy job, but yeah, he does let the bias flow through him sometimes.
I think it's pretty evident. I think this is like 9 or 10 in a row for wins for Bilal. I think it's pretty evident that he probably deserves a title shot, but I still don't think UFC wants to give him one.
The UFC doubled down. Dana White said the winner of this fight was going to get a title shot after Kobe.
Yeah, I think they were hoping it was Burns.
Why is he so dead set on Colby? Like, Colby doesn't
fight. I don't know. That's a weird one, too. Bilal does deserve it. But, like, I also saw how one round of Leon versus Bilal went. And I know Bilal's getting better, but I still think Leon takes him.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. I can see Bilal just winning. He's just like that guy that you don't think is good, and he just keeps winning. Yeah. And then he'll lose. Once we go...
I won't lie. I'm more interested in Colby versus Leon than Bilal.
Yeah, it's just not fair.
Yes.
But same thing. It's a funner fight to watch, definitely. Yep. Colby Bilal would be fun to see, like, the wrestling neutralizing. Yes.
Yeah.
But Colby, I think, would fuck up Bilal.
I don't know.
But, yeah, maybe not. I just assume everybody's going to beat Bilal, but then he just wins. So.
Yeah.
I was certain Gilbert was going to win. I was certain Bilal was going to try to take Gilbert down and then realize he doesn't want to be on the ground with Gilbert, and then it would be a stand-up match, and then Gilbert would dominate the stand-up. And I was wrong on everything.
Yep. All right, which brings us to our next disappointment, Aljamain Sterling over Henry Cejudo. I was bummed Cejudo lost. I don't think he should have lost either. So what do you feel about that one?
Yeah, like I tell you, ties. Like, there was no winner for me. Like, every round was close. Like, there was no loser for me. It was, you could give the fight to anyone and people would go, okay. Like, but it was a really close fight. I loved Cejudo's takedowns. Mm-hmm. And Aljo fought a smart fight, and Aljo got some takedowns too. Like, he fought the same way he always fights. He didn't let Cejudo's gold medals intimidate him.
But I do think Aljamain's size advantage was a big one.
Yeah, but Cejudo looked bigger than normal too.
Yeah, but like, you could fit Cejudo's body inside Aljamain's body. Like, it was pretty big difference. And I thought Cejudo looked great. Dude, that split up against the cage to prevent the takedown, like, it was great. And even Aljo got a takedown on Cejudo, which I think is only the second time he's ever been taken down. Like, big props. But the judges messed this one up for sure, because it was, I thought Cejudo won 2, 3, and 5. And I think round one was probably the strongest, I think rounds 1 and 4 were clearly Aljo to me. And round 5 was clearly Cejudo. So it was really 2 and 3 how those were swinging, which you can argue either way for 2 and 3. And I'm okay with that if that was your ground. Like, if you're saying that Aljo won 1-2-4 or 1-3-4, okay, I can see that rationale. But the judge that gave it to him gave Aljo, I think, 1-4-5. In what world do you give Henry Cejudo 2 and 3 and you don't give him 5? That's bonkers to me.
I mean, we've discussed this enough. The refs don't even know much about fighting. And
yeah, and here's what's crazy is that same ref,
the judges,
was also the reason that Cejudo lost to Joey Benavidez in a split decision as well.
Yo, he should fuck him up. If that was Henry Cejudo, I'd be like, he's fucking
and it's kind of crazy. And then recently, you know how Corey Sanhagen lost a split decision to who? Was it Jan? No. Who was it? Okay, anyway. Oh, there was a judge. Oh, no, in this last one, the one for Chito Vera, he won it, but it was a split decision. There was a judge that gave it for Chito, and everyone was like, yo, yeah. How? Right? Do you remember this?
Yeah.
Okay. So Corey Sanhagen came to learn that that judge was a judge at a match years ago that one of Corey Sanhagen's fighters lost. Or no, I think that judge was reffing, actually. And he called the match on a choke that wasn't a tap out, that wasn't a choke. Like, he thought he went out, he ended it, he ended the fight. So Corey Sanhagen kind of like lit him up and started yelling at him, cursing out at him and whatever. He had like beef with this guy. And lo and behold, he comes in to judge him, judges against Corey Sanhagen. And apparently, this is the second time that this judge has judged against Corey Sanhagen and makes him lose the rounds.
That's so fucked up.
And you're like, dude, kind of crazy. And maybe these judges don't have like the direct bias of like, oh no, fuck this guy. But they might just be seeing that fighter in a non-favorable light now.
Exactly.
And so now you're going to be looking for all the ways for that fighter to lose.
Exactly.
Oh. It's interesting, man. So yeah, and it sucks for Cejudo because that's huge on the legacy.
What did your app say? The one that
verdict. Organized? Yeah. It was overwhelming that Cejudo won 2, 3, and 5. Most people thought that.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay.
So again, I wouldn't call it a robbery by any means, but I do think it is kind of clear that Cejudo should have won that fight.
If Cejudo won that fight, it would have been better for the UFC because then he fights Volkanovski or just at least like create some new fights, some new like energy.
Him versus Sean O'Malley is more interesting. Him versus Merab is more interesting.
I thought it was so cringe when Sean O'Malley came in to the ring and then him and Aljo have to cut a promo and it's just both of them yelling like little girls.
Yeah. Neither one gave the time for the other one to even say anything. And then Merab got in there. It was a mess.
It was so just ugh, like un. They, it was like they never took an acting class. Like, you know what I mean? Like Sean O'Malley's always on YouTube, like talking and pitching shit. And Aljo's always complaining, like, why doesn't anybody like me? And then you figure maybe they're like, okay, like we know this is happening. They set it up already. Hey, if you win, we're going to bring Sean O'Malley in. Like it wasn't fake. And then as soon as they, I mean, it wasn't like organic. And as soon as they come in, they just go, blah, 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 like just yelling on top of each other. It's like, yo, let the other person talk and say some shit. It was just like kind of pathetic. And I think they both knew it was pathetic when they left. I feel like they were both like, and then Aljo's just like fucking whatever.
So we know what's next for Aljo, it seems like. What's next for Henry? Do you think he retires?
I don't want him to retire because if he won, they would maybe, I don't know if they give him Volk, but
they would for sure.
I just want to see that fight still. Like, I don't care.
Okay, so here's what I'm proposing. What if Henry's just like, fuck it, give me a featherweight fight, and they're like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, give me Max Holloway. That would be a great fight, would it not?
That would be a great fight.
It would be very tough because Max is very rangy, his striking's incredible, but Cejudo's wrestling, like, it would be a great fight. Who wouldn't want to see it? Big star power, and it's the gatekeep. If Cejudo can beat Max, then maybe he should still get Volk. It might
be
one last chance where he can kind of revive that featherweight hope and three division champ.
And if Max beats Cejudo, that's an amazing feather in your Hall of Fame career already. Like
100%.
You beat a legend. Like that's so, because Cejudo will always be a legend. I love that fight that you just created there. I think
I know. I'm like, I hope people hear that and are like, come on, Henry. I think Henry might do some digging to think about something like that. Like, oh, because that's his goal, is to win the three divisions.
Yeah.
And I mean, it would have been sick. He would have been the only double champ to reclaim a championship.
It's a little bit like a circus fight, too. Like, Max is tall, Cejudo's short. But like Max's weakness is wrestling, and Cejudo being so short, I think he takes him down a lot. But if you do it over five rounds, does he have the energy over five rounds to keep taking him down?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Max can keep him at bay for a bit, but like he's eventually going to go down. It'd be really good to see.
I could see Cejudo winning a decision of just super heavy grappling.
Me too.
Yeah, I would love that fight. That's such a fun fight to make.
Yeah, I hope that that's the route Cejudo goes. I mean, Cejudo doesn't have to do anything. His legacy cemented. Greatest combat athlete of all time, and he should always be remembered for that. And if he retires, awesome, man. Even though I think you beat Aljo, you're even better than I think people realize because I think you reclaimed that bantamweight championship, but whatever.
Ugh, yeah.
Cejudo's always, I'll never bet against Cejudo. I had money riding on Cejudo to finish Aljo. That didn't happen, but yeah, I'm always betting with Henry.
I think Henry realized, I think he's going to watch the fight. I think he's going to hear people like you mentioned that he won the fight and he's going to feel good about himself. And I think he's going to think, I'm going to be able to keep going.
I hope so. Because he doesn't have that much time. So I want him to make that choice soon.
That's why I feel like he will. I feel like this doesn't hurt him. I think everybody that watches at least was like, you did good, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, going forward here, this is what I find interesting about the UFC. By this time of year, we've got fights lined up in the summer that are usually like bomb, like summer fights are bomb. And UFC is really quiet. Like the next fight night, I don't care if I miss it. And there's a fight night after that, same thing. Don't really care too much. There's another fight night after that. Yeah, I can miss that one too. All right, we're already into June. Okay, the next UFC is 289. The headliner is Amanda Nunes versus Irene Aldana. Ah, okay, they got Oliveira Dariush. Cool if it happens. Danny Ige versus Nate Landwehr. That'll be kind of fun. But like, there's no marquee fight. We don't have John Jones fighting. And then there's another fight night, Vettori versus Cannonier. And another fight night of Emmett versus Topuria.
Those are fun fights, but
these are
just
all headliners. But now we're into July. Sean Strickland versus Magomedov. You're like, all right. UFC 290 comes around. We got Brandon Moreno versus Pantoja. Whitaker versus Dricus Duplessis. I'm like, okay, yeah, I guess. I don't know. There's no big star power. And that's it. We're all the way until the end of July. What was the best fight of all those fights?
Vettori, Cannonier. No, Whitaker, Duplessis. At least that's okay. What I'm looking for. I like Whitaker. That's the only reason.
Yeah, I guess. But like, that's the best you got in the next 3 months? I don't know, man. It just seems a little like UFC, I think, needed a couple of things to happen in this card. The Burns win, the Cejudo win, like the Jan one was big one. But yeah, Cejudo and Burns losing kind of hurts what they could potentially do now for the summer, I feel.
Yeah, I just think they're slacking anyway. I just feel like the UFC has lost some of its edge. I think the deal they have with ESPN is more about just we need more cards rather than quality cards.
Yeah.
And they're not so urgent on uplifting prospects. So it's just kind of everything is slow. Khamzat should have been fighting. Like so many people should be fighting. And I think they would like to fight more. And I think they kind of just slow them down.
Yeah. I think if John Jones ain't fighting or Yuri's not coming back, like I don't know how much. I mean, one of the headliners is Molly McCann versus Julia Stoliarenko. Do you know about Stoliarenko? She's 10-8.
That's crazy.
They're giving Molly McCann the biggest layup ever.
Yeah.
Because she lost one recently and they want Meatball Molly to win.
Yeah, I'm not that excited about much. This was like one of the big ones, and that's why it also feels like kind of a letdown.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait till my boy Rob comes Whitaker and starts fighting again. But yeah, everything in all the divisions kind of seems a little stagnant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stoliarenko's lost 4 out of the last 5. Like, yeah, it's and all finishes. Yeah, this is going to be very interesting. The next few months. And I also think it's prime time for one championship. I also think it'd be very fortunate if Ngannou signs somewhere and announces a fight because this UFC is quiet. It's the best time for Ngannou to find that bank.
Hey, that's a good point. And a lot of people are shitting on Ngannou now saying like what he did was wrong. Like, haha, like he fucked up. Dude, and maybe he did fuck up business wise.
I don't know because I'm hearing things about Ngannou that I'm like, I kind of stand behind him. Like, I think his deal breaker with one championship was something along the lines of, like, he wants to make sure whoever his opponent is also gets paid fairly. And I'm like, that's just a good guy, kind of. You know what I mean?
I know, but people are shitting on him because nobody's like giving himself him a deal. Out. Yeah, price himself out. And
but maybe he does have something looming for boxing, and there is rumors that PFL has something going on, and PFL is the strong rumor is that they're going to buy Bellator.
Really?
Oh, yeah, you haven't heard?
No.
Yeah, like, and not just like a strong rumor, like people like Luke Thomas and stuff are confirming it. They're like, oh, yeah, they want it. So, like, this does seem like it's going to happen. It's just a matter of to what extent. Are they going to be in a partnership? Are they going to run Bellator separately? Or are they just going to absorb the roster? They just don't know the details of like what that might look like.
And Francis just posted a picture of himself training. So hopefully there's some news that comes about it. And yeah, he is a good guy, and I want him to succeed. I want him to succeed, and maybe it inspires other fighters to take some chances.
Yeah, so the rumors are that both PFL and ONE Championship not only offered contracts to Francis that were pretty pricey, like more than what UFC was going to give him, and also allowed him to box, which is what he wanted. But the deal breakers are on some other intangibles. Like, I think he was trying to command like a seat on the board for ONE Championship, and they're like, no. And things like that nature, and like making sure that they're his opponents get at least six figures as well for each match. Like, there was a bunch of other things. Like, I think, yeah. So we'll see. I do think if Francis can land something really soon and announce it for this summer, he's back in business, and he might make the big change that I think a lot of fighters would be happy to see.
I'm not as optimistic as you regarding the big change, but I just want him to succeed at least. And then if it does have some down, amazing.
Here's the problem too. Like, let's say he did sign ONE Championship and he's getting this lucrative money. Who does ONE have to offer him that's going to make him? And it's a risk too on ONE, because if they're paying Francis all this money and he loses, they basically lose everything. But if he's beating up cans, then it's also like, are people going to watch either? So it's kind of a risky investment, unless it's PFL. Unless PFL absorbs that Bellator roster, then you might have some competition for Nagano.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least names that would be, you know, suitable. Like, oh, okay, he's versing a legend or whatever.
Exactly. I don't know if he beats cans, people are going to call him cans, because it'll still be entertaining. People love watching Tyson just fuck people up.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody does beat Ngannou, then they could be like, yo, our roster beat the UFC heavyweight champ. So
yes,
our roster is pretty good.
Amount of money they're spending to do that.
Yeah, but when DJ lost, they kind of used that, you know, like,
yeah,
DJ even was like, yo, there's a lot of good fighters here. So, but those were the lighter weight classes, which they're better at. It's in Asia.
Yep.
We're smaller people.
Yep.
All right, let's see how it plays out.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. Anyway, thanks for listening, like always, guys. We're hoping for brighter times for the UFC. We'll see you though.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Philosophy of Fighting podcast. If you have any questions, suggestions, or if you would like to fight us, send us a DM on Instagram @philosophy_fighting.